He was in town for the Canada Conference and is here with us this morning. He's got a busy day today. He's preaching three times today. And it's great to have him here with us. We want him to come and just bring the word, inspire faith. And let's worship the Lord with him as he comes to speak. And let the Lord speak into our hearts today.
Thank you, Pastor.
We're kind of shirt tail relatives now.
Yeah, we are, aren't we? Yeah.
Can you believe that? My stepfather is a Calhoun. And so, I don't know how closely, we're probably some distance, right?
It's probably something like 42nd cousins, but I'll take it.
I'll claim him, we'll see if he claims me.
I'll claim you. I'll claim you, I claim Sonia. Does that mean you and Sonia are related too? Hallelujah. Amen. That could be through the prices, though. Amen. You can be seated this morning. It's an honor to be here. And I'll try to keep you on schedule. Wow, what a beautiful transformation in this building. It'll be 2 years in July since I've been here to preach. Last time I was here, Brother Price was away on vacation, and amen, and I was by last year when some construction was going on, by twice last year, really, and what a transformation. Looks nice on the outside, and it looks nice on the inside. I never even noticed any mud piles. The only one thing that I know that could make it any better, because I am realizing that Pentecostals are Pentecostals in New Brunswick, they're Pentecostals in Ontario, they're Pentecostals in Ohio, they're Pentecostals in Quebec, and there's one thing they all have in common, and that is the back seats always fill up. That's not a hard time. Even Sister Johnson's way back there. Hallelujah. God is great. Amen. What a tremendous time at Canadian Conference. And I'm telling you, it just the presence of God was so real. And I had breakfast this morning with Brother Sistrunk at the motel and talked about the combination of practical and then the spiritual. And we need to have the spiritual, but we also need to have the practical. And it was just an amazing to be part of that. And thank you, amen, for allowing us to come and be here today. And we do love the prices. And I can tell you, Brother Price, how you can get a younger guesstimation on your age. And that is just tell them that Sister Price is pretty close to your age and get them to guess then. Okay, and they'll guess hard to be about 32 or 33. And they'll say, well, you must be, amen. So it's a... Amen. It's great. God's good. Amen. God's good. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not here representing the Bible College, but thank you for allowing our students to come be part of your congregation a few weeks ago, allowing them to minister the Word of God, and God has done some tremendous things for us, and we thank God for it. For the sake of time this morning, we're going to go to the Word of the Lord, John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. This is my third communion service, and I had no idea it was a communion service until I got here just before service, and maybe this will help me understand why I'm going the way I'm going this morning. I remember that when I was a boy, a man in our church, Brother Norman Price, that was a lot of years ago when I was a boy, Brother Norman Price had bleeding ulcers. He was the guy that most of the time he gave the message in tongues in our church. And Sister Carol, you may remember. And Norman Price had bleeding ulcers. And that morning, amen, as we were partaking of communion and it came to the cup, he said, Jesus, amen, if I could just let this juice represent your blood, if it touched my bleeding ulcers, I'd be healed. And that morning, amen, Norman Price was healed of bleeding ulcers, not because it literally turned to blood, but because of his faith in the shed blood of Jesus. John chapter number 20, and we're going to read verse 20, and then we're going to jump to verse number 24. And when Jesus had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither your finger. Thomas, you said that unless you could see and put your hands, your fingers in there, you wouldn't believe. So Tom, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for the divine anointing of your presence that is in this sanctuary. Lord, this morning I surrender and I submit myself to the authorities, Lord, that you have placed in position in this church family, Lord. God, Brother Price, Lord, and his ministry team, I surrender, Lord, to their authority today. And God, I operate in your authority. Jesus, I ask you today, Lord, let this not be just a normal run-of-the-mill service, Lord, but let someone that is here today that's hurting, someone that's got wounds that are open from the past, Lord, I pray today, God, that you would reach into their spirit, reach into their life today, and perform the miraculous, and we'll love you and thank you, Jesus. In your holy name, we ask it. In Jesus' name, you can be seated. I want to preach to you this morning for a while on this subject. Thank God for the scars. Now, this morning, if I were to ask you to stand today, if you were ever operated on, or if you ever had an accident and you had a scar on your body, probably half, maybe better than half of this congregation would stand because of some surgery you have had in the past, or some accident you had, maybe an accident at work, or perhaps an automobile accident, or maybe falling down, maybe even an accident because of stupidity of something that you have done. And if you say you've never done anything stupid, well, please tell me the secret, because I have done lots of them. On my thumb today, I have a scar, and that scar doesn't hurt anymore. And Brother Price, no, I won't let you do it, man, because you'll probably twist, man. But I'll let this young man. I mean, you see the scar on that thumb? Yeah. See that scar there? Want to twist my? Just don't twist real hard. Just squeeze that thumb, would you? Come on, a little tougher than that. Hey, man, I'm not going to ask you to do it. I see those biceps, okay? And I'll break that off at the knuckle, he'd say. But what happened whenever I was a teenager? I was working for a bus company in Fredericton on a Saturday morning. It was called SMT Bus Company, Scotia Motor Transport. And I was working in the garage, and I was about 17 years of age around that. And I'm not against 17-year-olds. I'm at the Bible college, okay? But I just want you to know that as a 17-year-old, I was extremely intelligent. And so that morning, I had a piece of metal. It was really just a rough piece of metal. I can't remember what I was doing with it, making a patch or something. And I had cut it, amen, off so that it was basically square. But because of the rough edges, I turned the grinder on. and I had the grinder in my hand. I had the grinder was on, and I had that piece of metal in my hand. It meant kind of smoothing the edges off and taking the rough pieces off of that piece of metal. And Bob Stort, Bob was a foreman that day, and he was an old guy, or at least I thought he was. He was about 45 years of age. And all 17-year-olds know how dumb 45-year-old can be. So that morning, Bob saw me, and he came over, turned the grinder off. I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Don't do that, Mel." And I said, "Why?" Because he said, "If that piece of metal catches on the grinder, on that stone, it's going to pull it in, and your hand will be brought in." And he said, "It's going to be a mess." And so he got a pair of channel locks or vice grips. I can't remember what it was now. Put it on, turned the grinder on, and he said, "This is the way you do it." And he looked at me and said, "You understand?" And like a 17-year-old with an old man there, I said, "Of course I do." And he gave it to me, and he walked away. And so I tried it, but being where I was so intelligent, amen, and that was awkward with those channel locks, amen, after he walked away, and I saw he couldn't see me anymore, I took the channel locks off, and I put it in my hands, and you know the rest of the story. Amen, that grinder, amen, that stone caught that piece of metal, pulled my hand down in, and my thumb caught in there, and it was hanging by a piece of thread, and it was really... Is it almost lunchtime yet? And it was hanging by a piece of thread. They put me in the pickup. Man, took me to the Victoria Public Hospital on Woodstock Road in Fredericton. Put me down inside. Put me on this on this wheelchair. Held my hand up. Took me inside. Put me in a room. Laid me down on a stretcher. And then the most miraculous thing happened. I hope Pam's not going to hear this. This amazingly beautiful... about 21, 22, 23-year-old nurse walked into the room where I was at, and she took my hand, and she looked at it, and she got my name, and she get this bottle of solution, and she put a cotton swab, and she put the solution on it, and poured it into my thumb, and that didn't hurt a bit. It didn't hurt, not one bit in the world, it didn't hurt. Amen, I'm telling you, I was 17 years of age, and she was pretty. And it didn't hurt at all. Not at all. And she cleaned it up as best as she could. And she said, "The doctor will be right in." And she went out 2 or 3 minutes later. I'm sorry, I can't say it because Brother Isaac is here. And he graduated from Bible school. But this individual walked in that was a man. And he was the doctor. He took that same bottle of solution and he poured it into my hand, on that hand, and he took a cotton swab. It is amazing. I didn't see him do it, but he dropped something into it because when it hit, it burned like fire. It hurt to the dickens. And it was off. I hauled my hand back. He meant I'm not responsible for what happened in the next few minutes. All I can tell you is, he meant that when he left the room, amen. A few minutes later, the nurse came back in again, and she said, "What's going on?" I said, "He's not touching my hand. He's not getting near my hand." She said, "You need stitches?" I said, "No, I don't need stitches." Amen. I lied. I said I had a tetanus shot a couple weeks before. I didn't, but I wasn't a Christian. So they band-aged it all up. 2 weeks later, my sister got married, and I'm walking down the aisle with this oversized thumb because I wouldn't allow them to do it. Amen. But that was when I was 17. And now, I'm not as old as someone thinks that Brother Price was, okay? Amen. But in June, I'll turn 64 years of age. And guess what? I've still got the scar on my thumb, but it doesn't hurt anymore. Let's go on a little journey. You see, when people come to Jesus, they come with wounds in their life. They come hurt because of the past. When they come to Jesus, they come with things in there that they're not proud of. When they come to Jesus, their spiritual man, the inner person, amen, is oozed in infection. Amen, all kinds of things from the past. Amen, they come with wounds from life. Wounds that people gave them. They come wounded by situations that has transpired in their life. Some people come in to the church of a living God and they don't trust anyone because every place they have been, they've been hurt and they've been wounded and life has not been good to them. Amen. Other people come with sin wounds, and really, we all have them. Addictions and hurts and things from sin, amen, that's got a hold of them. And they come into the church of a living God. Amen. Outside, their arms may be swinging. Amen. You look at them and they look so pretty and so nice. But inside, they're hurting and they're bound up. And sin has them addicted with the bondage of sin. I come by on this Sunday morning to tell you, if you're in here and you're like that, you came to the right place. Amen. Because we're not people that's perfect, but we're people that came with wounds of life. But today, I came to tell you about Jesus. I come to tell you that this Jesus that we celebrated in communion service knows just how you feel in his body, in his humanity. He knows what it's like to be wounded by life. Amen. The Bible tells us he was rejected by his own friends and his own family. You listen to me on this Sunday morning, if you would. He knows how you feel. If you've got family members that rejected you, if you've got friends that rejected you, I come by to tell you, you came to the right place, because the God that we bow before and the God that we sang about and the God that we worship, he knows exactly how you feel. He was rejected by the religious. He went in, amen, to the religious places of worship, and they rejected him. They didn't want anything to do with him at all. They called him everything they could, amen, and they rejected him and cast him out of their midst. He was rejected by those he wanted to help the most. He really was. And then when it came to Calvary's cross, he was wounded in his flesh. The Bible tells us, amen, that he was whipped with that cat of nine tails. There he was, whipped beyond recognition. He was so marred, the Bible tells us that no one could even recognize him for who he was. Crown of thorns, amen, that Brother Brent, amen, prayed about this morning, amen, was pierced down upon his brow, amen, and those thorns, amen, they pierced his forehead, they pierced his scalp, and the blood ran down over his body. Oh yeah, nails pierced his body, his hands, and his feet, and even after death, they would not leave him alone, but they put the spear in his side and twisted as blood and water came forth. He was wounded, amen, by, amen, sin. He was wounded by the religious. He was wounded by life. Man, the Bible tells us in Gethsemane that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood as he drank that bitter cup for you and I. I used to preach, and I heard so many people preach it, amen, that God, amen, went to the closet and he took out the robe of sin and put on him like you put on a dirty pair of jeans. Yeah. And I used to preach that, and I heard other people say that he put that on, amen, and he went to Calvary for you and I. But the Bible doesn't tell us that. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it tells us that this Jesus that we live for he hath made him to be sin for us. He didn't put on a coat, but he who knew no sin became sin. He who knew no sin drank that bitter cup and took your sins and took my sins, took your addictions and took my addictions, took your hurt and took my hurt upon himself and in himself, and went to Calvary for you and for me. When you read the story of Calvary, there's a spark of that. For 3 solid hours, darkness covered the face of the earth. Amen. As he hung there upon cross, and hell poured everything it could into him, trying to destroy him. But at the other end of it, he came out, amen, with a shout of victory. Amen. And said, it is finished. Why? Because hell didn't kill him. Hell couldn't control him. Hell couldn't take his life. But the word of God tells me that he laid down his life for you and I. Man. Amen. But then, in a borrowed tomb he went. And 3 days later, out of the tomb, he came. He appeared to his disciples. Thomas wasn't there. And when the disciples told him, he said, except I see, except I put my fingers in the nail prints. Man, 8 days later, Jesus appeared again, and Thomas was there. I'm not really intelligent. They don't have me as president of the Bible college because of all of my intelligence. They have me there because I know how to beg money. I'm really smart, though. But this much I do know. That Jesus was 3 days, 3 nights in the grave. His body was marred and marked from the whip and the nails and the spear and the crown of thorns that no one could recognize him. His body was broken so bad. Man, just out of the tomb, just a bit after he appeared to his disciples. And then 8 days later, he appeared again. And this time, Thomas was there. We will even go to the end of that 8 days when he appeared, when Thomas was there. But he also appeared before them. Amen. And there's no record of any open wound. This much I know, man, that if your body is broken and your body is that much marred and the wounds, amen, are that bad on your body, that less than 2 weeks later, amen, when he appeared to his disciples and Brother Isaac, he said, put your hand in. Put your hand on my side. Look at me and touch me. Amen. There wasn't a scab there. There wasn't an open wound that was there at all. The only thing that was left was a scar like I have on my thumb. I come by this morning to tell you on this Sunday morning, amen, that Jesus came forth from the grave, amen, victorious over everything that took him down. And the only thing left was a scar. And this is what came to me. No wounds, just scars. No wounds, just scars. And I said, God, you have to excuse me because I just have these conversations with him. And I said, Jesus, if you're God, and I believe you are. No, he didn't talk to me in an audible voice, but I felt the impression of his spirit as he kind of smiled and said, yeah, I'm God, Mel. You've got it right. And I said, if you're God and you are, man, and you were in the grave and you came forth and there wasn't any wound, if there wasn't even a scab, amen, upon that nail print, if there was nothing there and you could say, touch me, feel me, squeeze, and it didn't even hurt. I said, Jesus, if you could do that in those few short days, you also could have taken care of the scars. And it was like Jesus smiled and said, Mel, you're absolutely right. And I said, why not? And he said, Mel, it's for people just like you. Because you see, on January the 20th, 1980, when I came to God, I had wounds from life. Amen. I had wounds from my past, spiritual wounds. I was bound by nicotine. I was bound by a foul language. But on that morning or that night when I came to God and God filled me with his spirit, amen, he healed the wounds. He delivered me from the addictions. And in its place, the only thing is there is a scar of what used to be. Jesus said, people come wounded by their past. Wounded by their past. He said, they come wounded because of what life has done for them. If you're here this morning, I've got news for you. Amen. You don't have to cover yourself up. You don't have to pretend, amen, that it didn't hurt. You don't have to pretend that you don't have any wounds. You've come to the right place because I know a God that can touch you and put the balm of Gilead on your spirit. Put the balm of Gilead in your life and you can walk out that door a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, yeah. You really can. Hallelujah. People come wounded because of their past. Blood that flowed from his wound
cleansed and healed. We celebrated it this morning with our communion service. He who was sinless became sin for me in his humanity, in his flesh, in his incarnation. Because you see, we all have a past that we're not proud of. Many of us came to God with wounds that were festering with the poison of sin. Oh, listen to me. Let me tell you about a girl that I'm just going to call Missy. Amen. When 15 years of age, Missy led the choir in her church. At 15 years of age, Missy, amen, went to the foreign field on a trip with us when we had a team that went. Amen. At 15 years of age, amen, I'll never forget the night when we had a miracle crusade. And that night, over 150 people were healed. Amen. Miracles, blinded eyes open. One of the most powerful things I've ever been. And a 15-year-old girl that I'm just going to call Missy, I got her to put her hand upon the back of a man that was doubled over like that. And as a 15-year-old girl, she put her hand on his back and began to pray in the name of Jesus. And tears burst first forth from her eyes. And she said, "Brother Calhoun, come here, come here." I went over. She said, "Put your hand on his back." And I did. And she began to pray. And you could feel the bones popping in his back. And he walked out standing up straight because she prayed for him. She had an anointing of God in her life. But in her, between her junior and senior year of high school, amen, she was a gospel singer. Amen, she was an amazing young Christian. Her dad was a preacher. Her mom was a pastor's wife. Amen, amen, they had a great church doing a great work for God. But that summer, they had an old home week in their little rural community. And they asked her if she would sing at the Saturday night concert. And she went to her dad, and her dad said, "Well, Missy, I don't know. There's going to be a lot of stuff there that's not gospel." And she said, "Dad, they asked me if I would sing a gospel song." And she said, "Dad, when I'm done singing, they're going to put me up front. And when I'm done singing, I'm going to leave." And so finally her dad said, "Okay, Missy, you can do it." But on that Saturday night when she sang, the anointing of God came on her. Listen to me. The anointing of God came on her. Hallelujah. They blinked their lights. It was an outdoor concert. They blew their horns. Amen. They wanted her to sing another song. And she sang another song. But that little incident, 10, 15 minutes in her life, amen, got her mind in a cloud somewhere. And she decided she was going to be a movie star. Brother Isaac, she backslid. Amen. That summer, she went from bad to worse. I won't go into the life. I'll just tell you, she was deep in the pit of sin by the time she graduated from high school. Her dad and mom laid their head on my shoulders and cried. Amen. As we wrapped arms around them and prayed for their little girl that was so far from God. She was so deep in sin that it was scary. Amen. How in the world could she go that far, that fast? But one night, or one Sunday afternoon, on the western part of our continent, amen, she was visiting her brother, who was a home missionary, amen, and her brother went to the church to pray for the service that night, and when he did, amen, it was 4 or 5 hours earlier than our time, amen, her dad got home from church, amen, on that Sunday night in New Brunswick, Canada, and when he walked through the doors, his phone was ringing, and it was his son, and his son said, "Dad, I've got a problem." And dad said, "Oh no, what did Missy do now?" He said, "She didn't do anything, but in prayer, God told me to get her to sing tonight." And the dad said, "You can't get her to sing. Amen. She's in drugs. She's immoral. Amen. You can't get her to sing." And he said, "I know, Dad, but God told me, and I called you, amen, to give me directions." He said, "Dad, not only that, but God told me the song to get her to sing." And he said, "What is it?" And he told him the name of the song. And it was a song she sang on Saturday night at the old home week. Amen. And the dad knew there's something going on now. He said, in my church, I wouldn't dare do it. But you do what you want. Amen. He called me, said, pray, Mel, pray. We went to prayer. Amen. That brother called, said, are you coming to church tonight? She said, I don't know why. He said, come to my office if you do. She came to church a few minutes early, knocked at his little office door. He opened the door. You hear me? He opened the door. Amen. Amen. And she was there. She came in. He told her the story. She started crying. She called him by name. And she said, I can't sing. Amen. I can't do that. She said, I'm a backslider. She said, I'm immoral. I do drugs. I do all kinds of things. He said, I know. Amen. But God told me. And she said, Jay, I can't do it till I repent. Amen. You heard it. Amen. There, before church ever started, a big brother and his little sister in a little 2x4 office knelt around on a pew. And God of glory came into that office. And Missy prayed through the Holy Ghost. And tonight she's a preacher's wife. Today she's a preacher's wife. She's living for God. Amen. She's doing great things for God. Her and her husband pastor a revival church. Why? Because Jesus is not here to make you wallow in your sin. He's not here, amen, to put you in a rehab, a facilitation. He's not here to lock you away, but he's here to wrap his arms around you and to heal you of your wounds of the past. I'm done. Hallelujah. Would you just raise your hands and love him? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Let's stand. Wes Henderson is a friend of mine. Wes is an evangelist with the United Pentecostal Church. Amen. I was sharing some of this stuff that God had given me with Wes a few weeks back. I was at his place in Maine for some ministers to get away. Man, and we had brought a guy in. I'll never forget it. I'm standing talking to Wes. We're leaning up against the counter in his kitchen. And man, and Wes is an evangelist based in Edsel, Texas. Amen. I was telling Wes a little bit about it. See, Wes was a preacher's boy, but Wes backslid. Amen. Wes's dad told me, he said, Mel, he said, one Sunday night back many years ago, Brother Stoops called me after service, and Brother Stoops said, Wendell, he said, I just wanted you to know that Wes prayed through the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. His dad said, Brother Stoops, call me back in a month if he's still going to church. That's the kind of a young man he was. He got married and moved to Texas. Through divorce, very messed up situation, met another girl, Caroline, and get married. And one night they found their way to an apostolic church. Business. He has a couple of major businesses in Texas. Yeah. Good Brother Tom Foster's church. Months went into years. A few years go by. Tom recognized the call of God. Bless his life. While he was fine, he is. Put his application in for his local license. And when he met the Texas board, he walked into the room where the district board was meeting. They had a file about this thick. One of those file folders. Man, sit down. He sit down. I don't know if it was a superintendent or a secretary. Picked up that file folder and said, Wes, I've been on this board for a lot of years, but we've never had anyone come in and apply for a folder as thick as this with a past so marred by sin. Amen. Wounds of life. Sister Price. Wes, I don't know where it came from, Mel, but I looked at them and I pointed at that file. I said, brother, you'll have to excuse me. I said, why? Because he said, that file is just a scar of what a brand new person. Perhaps you're a first-time visitor here today. And you've got wounds in your life. And you don't know what to do. Or maybe you're someone that's been here. You may be someone even involved in leadership. Maybe you're someone that you've been part of this church for some time. But hell keeps setting on your shoulder and bringing your past up on you. And say, oh, if the pastor only knew. Amen. If someone only knew. If the church family only knew where you've been and the things you've done. I come by today to tell you, you can kick that spirit off of your shoulders. You don't have to allow it to haunt you. Amen. And you can take your word from God. Amen. And you can take the book of the Holy Ghost. You can say, hell, I've got news for you. You're not going to haunt me with my past. You're not going to come back and get me. What I did is a scar. Some of it I may use as a testimony for the glory of God to help someone else in the same place I was at. But it's just a scar or something that happened way back then. Because now I'm a brand new creature. Amen. I'm a brand new species in Christ Jesus. I'm a new child. And my past is not going to haunt me anymore. Jesus, come by today to tell someone in here today. Your past doesn't have to determine who you are. Amen. But Jesus came by to touch you with His Spirit, with His love, with His blood. Amen. And His church wants to embrace you and help you. And you can be free from everything you've ever done. Every wound in your spirit, every wound in your life can be healed.